I'm sure this has never happened in your household, but I'm just going to test the waters. Many a parent have heard these words: there is nothing in this house to eat. Parent replies, I just spent $300 at the grocery store. And child's mind, if it doesn't shine and glisten, and isn't it a tear open bag like this, or like that, or like that? Somehow, yeah, see, I knew I'd make you all hungry. Matter of fact, I have one left. So you really want to fight over it. It's been hanging around for a bit. Don't mind the green stuff. It's just part of the flavor. Anyway, mint. Yes, Bill. The conclusion is, if it has to be made or cooked for 25 minutes, it doesn't really count as food, right? All right, maybe not. But I think I spoke this way too as a kid. All right, so kitchen cabinets and refrigerators can be full and complete with the best of foods, but unless it is accessed requiring some effort and time to put together, often the best is overlooked and ignored. We live in the fast food culture. If you can't have it in 5 minutes at a drive-thru, somehow it's just, you know, I don't feel like going home and cooking. And this is our generation that we're in. Everything's so instant, and yet people's health has suffered because of that. John chapter 6, Jesus explains that he is the true manna. And he's drawing back the attention of Israel back to how God supplied their need for food, but ultimately the manna that God brought to them was a picture of the true one who would bring true manna, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament that you read is a foreshadowing and is a point to the Lord Jesus in all sufficiency. He is the one that we are to see clearly, and now these things have been made open to all of us, that we would be able to see them more clearly like never before and continue to rejoice in the salvation that we have. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Not Oreos, notice. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I remember when Jack Savastano went through surgery, and he said to me, Pastor, I said, Jack, can we bring you some groceries? He said, yes, please. I need 2 packs of double-stuffed Oreos. Jack and I have had many a conversation since that time, but all that to say, we sometimes still like the stuff, but Jesus is really saying here, when it comes to the real nourishment that you and I need, the real soul nourishment, the stuff that he provides for us, the real things, the real need, our biggest need is forgiveness, and Christ gives us that by laying down his life for us. But then the things that really cause us to grow are spelled out in the scripture, and unless we understand that, oftentimes we will miss these wonderful resources that God has already given to us. Don't miss the big idea in this study that it's God's will that you know how to keep nourished in Christ, because the pantry is fully stocked with divine provisions, and keep coming and keep eating. And worldly philosophy will keep raising the questions that God has already given you and I answers for completely in his son, Jesus Christ. That's exactly what's happening in the book of Colossians. And we're going to talk a little bit about philosophy and some of the things that I think can kind of, you know, be attractive to at seasons of our life. We might lay our mind on some things that are philosophical or help us seem to sort out the big picture of life. But we want to keep that in its proper perspective. And I will make the case, the major benefit in learning Jesus via the Apostle Paul's instructive letter to the Colossians is that every believer would know how to stay fully satisfied in him, not settling for cheap substitutes that will leave us malnourished and settling for spiritual sugar highs. That's often the case. It's like, when you learn the Word of God, and that's what we're doing here. We do it Sunday mornings. We do it in Sunday school. We do it Wednesday mornings. We do it Tuesday mornings. Because we really want people well-nourished. well supplied, well stocked. Every time you go to that refrigerator, spiritually speaking, you see, I've got every provision I need in Jesus, and I'm going to keep coming. And some of those provisions are going to be preemptive if you take your daily vitamins, right? Some of those things that we have to do is preparation for the future so that we would have a life that matters, and that when the storms of life kind of just can topple us. And this is really what's at the heart of the Apostle Paul's, these four or five verses that we're going to look at in just a couple minutes. Remember, everything is fully in Jesus Christ. This is the big theme of the book of Colossians. Everything is in him. Every believer who has placed faith in Christ needs to see that they are positionally in him. They are in complete righteousness. And now it's just grabbing onto that. I love what Paul pointed out. He says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together. This is from Ephesians, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Do you know that God wants you and I fully assured, not partially assured, not wandering in the dark? You have everything you need to stay focused on Christ, seen in his word. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God wants you to see Jesus as the one who is the supplier, is the one who revealed all these things that is so beneficial for the human being. Jesus was made like one of us, just he made but without sin, and he gives up his life for us. And from that, he opens up complete access to all things Christ. And that's for you. Amen? Amen. You not only got his treasure map, you got the treasure. Isn't that so sweet to think of it that way? The treasure map is his word. And it's his spirit that guides us into all truth. That's what Jesus says. I will send my spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Truth will save your life. It will save you from stupidity. It's like, and that's, it's so oftentimes, I think people just don't realize how significant their brief life on earth really is. We think about Josh in this last week, this guy's running a restaurant to a brain aneurysm. This is a picture of anyone's life, how fragile life truly is. And yet, sometimes, like, we start getting colds and viruses, like, ooh, I got cancer. You know how our brains just go crazy? We recognize the brevity of life. It's part of it. And it's just silly if we think that we're exempt from trials and problems and somehow we have an appointment with Jesus. It's coming. You want that appointment. You want to be standing in his righteousness when you have that appointment. And he just wants to make you ready. Isn't that awesome? He wants you ready. God wants you ready. He's done everything he can to make you ready. I'm going to read the scripture that we're going to look at for a few minutes. It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. It'll be up on the screen. It's in your Bible too, if you have your Bible. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verses 6 to 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. That's a wonderful little section of scripture. If you think of the book of Colossians as a building, series of building blocks that magnifies Jesus Christ and communicates that everything you need is in him. I was thinking about that word in. You know, you think of we're in the car, we're in the house, it's in the mix. Just think of all the ways that we use the word in. You get it? Right? So we use this little preposition in all the time. It's so much of what we do. Yeah, they're in the house, whatever. It's in the bank. So we understand this concept of in, but do we really recognize what does it mean to be in Christ? Do you realize that we are in him, and in him is everything? This is why the believer should be walking with confidence. And here's what I want to point out in the back of the bulletin, three things. When you recognize that you are complete in him and you are willing to move into this territory that belongs to you as a believer in Jesus Christ, this is available to everyone, but not everybody accesses this. That's the key thing. We want people to, that's why we make a big deal about knowing Jesus. I love the song that Beth and Amanda sang this morning. Knowing you. Paul says, I want to know him. Do you have that cry of your own heart? I think of the disciples when Jesus is speaking to them about hard things, about his body, and he says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. In other words, if you don't consume the words that I'm giving to you, you have no part in me. If you don't receive what I'm giving to you, you can't have fellowship with me. Christ is laying down his life, and he wants us to have that. And at the end of that, people just go away, but his disciples hang out. He says, you guys going to go too? Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. We're not going elsewhere. And if you have a spiritual struggle or an obstacle in your way, work through it with Jesus. Work through it. He wants to work with you. And that's the thing that I think people, you know, we are comfortable at times just sort of keeping this stuff in our own category of, I'm comfortable with that. Don't bring me along any further. But the key is Christ wants you to be in him and then develop as you're intended to develop as a believer. And I'm very grateful, very thankful that these people are developing. I mean, we, no matter what time of the day, we had people here till 11 o'clock. Amanda was smoking up the place on Friday night. I mean, you just sort of saw her. We have people here on Friday nights. And now just events and our, you know, just have a fun evening with missions and blessing Steve and Allison and then having people here just having fellowship together, being together. Dennis making me look bad. Just, you know. Anyway, I can handle it. But the thing is, a church should be a place that people say, oh, I want to be there. I want to be with those people because that's really where life is. And, yeah, are we gonna run into stuff as a church from time to time? We're gonna run into stuff. We're gonna run into struggles and strongholds and things that are just ugly. Don't really know what to do. We're gonna pray. I'm so grateful that this is a praying church, that we pray about stuff. So we want to develop our relationship with Christ. So those three things on the back, we need to learn to walk. I mean, think about a baby. It's like those first steps are so critical. And they're just like, once they get momentum, watch out, coffee table, right? So often, you know, but that's much like our spiritual development. We get our feet, we understand how to navigate a little bit more. And spiritually speaking, the believer should be learning to navigate through various courses in life. And so when you see something, you're preemptive about it. You're saying, oh, that's not going to work out for me. I'm not going there. I see that pathway. I've seen that thing explode in so many other people's lives. I'm not going there. I want to develop fully and be mature. We're learning to walk. Number two, we're learning to discern the good, the better, and the best. Just because something good, is it really the best? Just because something might be a good, happy thought. And I think what happens oftentimes in the church is that people blend a lot of it's like there's a synchronizing. Well, this kind of fits for me, and I still do this, and I still like to watch that, and I still believe in that person, and they're a great author. And sometimes we just need to say, does this match with Scripture? If it doesn't, it's another philosophy competing with Jesus Christ. And it can look good. It can look like a shiny Oreo package. It can look like things that seem, and this is the day of marketing. Amanda just earned her, whatever she earned, her 87th college credit the other day, taking a marketing communications course. And she's like, Dad, they're basically trying to snow us all the time. You know, it's like some of the things that, you know, trying to create this need and this tension and that you need this. And again, I'm not saying there's some great things about marketing. I think that we should be wise about that. Make a good presentation. But we got to be careful. Just because it's slick and it glistens and it's shiny and it's peel back, it doesn't always mean it's good. And I think that's the time that we're living in. We really need believers knowing how to discern. And then we really need to learn how complete we are, so that when that hungry, achy soul just feels lonely, tired, angry, whatever, that you settle on the fact that Jesus Christ made me fully complete and I'm not going anywhere. Because I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a risen Savior who's forever alive. And the scripture says he lives to make intercession for us. In other words, Christ is actively, he's actively in one sense rooting for our progress. He's praying. He's interceding. He's protecting. He's showing. Think about the myriad of angels that Jesus said, I could call right now. I could call legions of angels to keep me from going to the cross. But how would the scripture be fulfilled? So think about the protective hand of God in your life. Doesn't mean that we can't still go places we shouldn't, and we want to be wise. And this is, I think, learning to walk, learning to discern, and learning that we are complete. I want to talk a little bit about this walk of assurance. That's what I really think Paul is establishing here. Revisiting what it means to be in Christ, to be forgiven, to be loved, to be cleansed, to be sealed, to be secure, and to be complete. If you are revisiting these things in your walk, you are going to get stronger. Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in. And the problem is, many believers today believe that they don't really need the local church. I don't need to make that sacrifice. I don't need to be there. It's just too, you know, that's my day. Sunday's my day. I've heard this. You know how, as a family, we, you know, I know this is my job and all that, but Sunday's a tough day for our family. It's just, you know, it's probably for you too. You got to get up. You got to figure it out. You got to get breakfast. You got to get here on time. But we do this the rest of the week, right? Isn't it awesome that we can do this for our Savior who loved us and died for us? That when we come and we give and we support and we encourage, it's like, you know what? Why wouldn't I do this? He loved me that much. Okay, that was an exciting moment, okay? But learning to walk, Paul says here in those scriptures, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, notice, as you have received him. That's why I think a big part of what we do as a church is to continue to hold out Jesus. Have you received him? Not that you know he existed. Have you personally received Christ Jesus the Lord? And Paul says, if you've done that, you walk in him. Because when the moment you receive Jesus, and that's a simple prayer, Jesus, I recognize that I have sin and you don't, and you took it away from me on that cross. I believe that you've done that for me, and I receive that gift for me. It's personal. It's a deeply personal matter between you and the living Christ. And you know what? He sees that faith. And the Bible says that the angels actually celebrate over one sinner who repents. Think about that party. God wants you forgiven. Because there's no reason why. You shouldn't be. Because everything stands offered to you and to every person on planet Earth. So, keep going here. I love this idea. Because as you learn to walk in him, you become rooted and established. I thought this video is so cool, learning from an oak tree and how those in the science realm are saying, look at this design. We might want to take some cues from this and how to help the average homeowner in some of these wind-saturated areas of our country. They're going to show you one for a second. But
we know more about how the natural world works than ever before. It's kind of a perfect storm for nature-inspired innovation. During Hurricane Katrina, you would have thought that the live oaks on St. Charles Street would have died, when actually only 4 out of over 700 trees died. Why is that? Well, the trees, it turns out, the whole thing is a blueprint for how to survive hurricanes. Their trunk is spiraled, so they flex in the wind, and their branches are spiraled, so they flex, and their leaves, when the wind hits them, they curl into the shape of a Fibonacci sequence, which allows the wind to flow through with minimum friction so that the leaves don't get torn off easily. And even more importantly, under the ground, its roots are actually entwined with the roots of the trees next to it. So when a hurricane hits a live oak in New Orleans, it's not hitting one tree, it's hitting a whole community. So perhaps in rebuilding New Orleans to be more hurricane resilient, instead of our individual pier foundations, we may think about foundations that have horizontal components that twine together with the foundations of the buildings next door, so that you've got the wind hitting an entire community of buildings and not just one. Architects and engineers are beginning to explore this in other places. They're starting to think like a live oak tree to design buildings and homes. They're safer and more resilient. For more episodes of Think Like a Tree, subscribe to the Wired channel.
Pretty cool, huh? I just find that to be a life lesson from something that God already designed. And that's this imagery that Paul's talking about here, being rooted. I mean, that's only 4 out of 700 are gone. You think about that root system, that should be the believer. That's how we should be rooted. And we're rooted into one another. So when you're weak and I'm weak, it's like, you know what? You're holding me up. Because that's the power of this salvation that God wants us to see, that in Him we are complete. But it is important that we know the cupboards and the cabinets that we get these resources, the real supplies that keep us nourished. I know people in our church who are taking actual chunks of Scripture and meditating on them and memorizing them. The Scripture is life-giving. As I read earlier in the service this morning from Psalm chapter, I believe it was 13, you know, the honesty of the psalmist. You know, sometimes you're going to get to know God more deeply in your dark times, because those roots at that time, that's a windstorm. Those are some pretty forceful currents that are hitting your life. And as you, instead of saying, I can't handle it, you know, help, and you run off to some other place that you're not deepening those roots, as you're standing, and that's why I believe the power of the church, the power of a healthy Bible-centered church, is where this stuff really gets developed and worked out. So he says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. We want to know the distinction for church teaching. We want to understand how God has a prescription of instruction so that you and I know who we are in Jesus Christ and how to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. We want to learn to walk. We want to be knowing these things, not just, you know, occasionally sort of drawing our minds. Like today, we're going to get a high wind warning later today. And most of us are like, I hope I don't lose power, right? And I'd look at some of the ways that God has given us some great illustrations just in creation to show, hey, this is really where strength is. And we want to be intertwined around the Word of God, that we would be able to grow and that we would be able to abound in it. Yeah, another storm came, but you know what? Grace Lighthouse Fellowship survived that storm. And that's how the church should be thinking. We're not oblivious, as Paul was pointing out, and we've talked about this last week. We're not ignorant of Satan's schemes. Satan's number one strategy is destroy the health of a local church, because these people are holding out Jesus, the answer to this world. And when you get to know Christ better in the fullness, Satan, I believe, can't penetrate that like he wants to. I mean, we've been hearing about churches that are just being blasted through infidelity and sexual misconduct and all this junk. And as a pastor, I say, you know what? I stay committed to that woman. She's my wife. And I'm gonna honor my commitment by the grace of God. I'm going to stay. I'm going to keep my mind on her. She's the one that God gave to me. And I think she's pretty hot. And so I think, you know, we need to make full provision in our minds day after day for the things that God, that we would keep our minds fixed on Jesus. Because you know what? With Christ is all good things. Healthy marriage, kids, these things. Now, I get it. I know there's been war. In a lot of our homes, we've had trouble. But doesn't mean that God is not. God wants us strong in Him. Jesus said, and I say this often, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Take heart. I've overcome the world. I need this message as much as anyone in this room. This is not, I'm not pointing the finger. You know, you need to be complete in Him. I need to know how complete in Him I truly am. And then we learn to discern. You know, when I was in college, I used to, you get things depending on what college you go to. If you go to Christian college, you go to a, you know, Bible-centered college, you probably some of those things just become, you become more acquainted with what's out there. But if you actually are immersed in a secular university, whatever that is, state university, whatever, you're going to hear a bunch of stuff coming in today. I mean, this is a, there's full-blown agendas that are at universities and state colleges today. Just be prepared if you're sending your kids out to a state college or university. They're going to get stuff that probably isn't going to be taught here. But you can teach them how to weather. I had talked to one guy who homeschooled all six of his kids. And someone was like really mad at him. He's like, you're sending your kid, and he's, your kid's going to Harvard? He said, no, my kid's not going to Harvard. I'm sending him to Harvard. So in his mind, he was sending him into an environment that he knew that this kid was ready to fight for and knew what he believed. So sometimes, I mean, universities, I mean, kids come home, it's like, because their faith really wasn't rooted, what we're talking about like this, rooted and grounded. And then the storms of life come, and there's philosophies out there, and it's like, and I'm telling you, there are people in this church who are watching in their own families things that have been very disheartening. So and so, they, at 11 years old, they love Jesus, and that by their 22, they don't want anything to do with them. And some of that stuff is very heartbreaking. But my question always is, how deep did the roots go? Did we keep our kids from seeing the real deal? Did we have honest conversations about real struggles, about temptation, about things that we understood our own personal sin nature? That by the grace of God, I'm going to live victoriously because I see myself as Jesus Christ has made me. He set me free from the law of sin and death. This is the stuff that we need to be able to instruct our kids on. And not be like, oh, I tried to teach my kids about Jesus. Yeah, I get it. You want to keep going in that direction 100%. But you know what? This is war. This can be war. And it can be one of those areas that a lot of people get discouraged. But here's the most important thing in this whole thing. You should know that you are complete in Him. No matter what else is going on in your life, your family, circumstances, things you wish were different, better, improved, know where your relationship is with Him and recognize you're part of something that's so precious. It's called the Church of the Living God that Jesus loved and died for. And you're numbered with that. You're numbered with those who He laid down His life for and those people who received this amazing and wonderful salvation. We are like the salvation rejoicers. We should be. Yeah, He saved me. It should be bigger than a Super Bowl for you, as we talked about a couple weeks back. Remember that? And I want this more and more. But one of the things that Paul points out here is that we need to learn to discern. You know, people say, well, what's wrong with philosophy? Well, it's philosophy that's minus Jesus Christ. Really, if you understand the true meaning of philosophy, it's the request for wisdom. It's love for wisdom. And I love what David said in Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. David was building his life on godly philosophy, godly ways of thinking, in a world that's dark. Godly things that God has not removed. He's not taken the sin out of the world yet. That day is coming. That day is guaranteed. Just as much as we know that Christ is risen from the dead, He is coming again. And this little period on earth that you and I have, we don't even know how long it's going to be for, is to be lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And while I live for Him and I love Him and I get to know Him better, guess what's coming? Rewards for faithful servant that He wants to give to you at the judgment seat of Christ. This is awesome stuff. This is our future. This is eternal thinking. This is correct thinking. God made you and He made you. He wants you to know that you're going to live someplace forever and ever. And I would say choose Christ. That's what you want. We want to choose Him all the time and keep choosing Him all the time. Keep looking to Him. That's really what it means. I'm going to keep looking to Him. I'm not looking within me because there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to see in me that I don't like. And I'm not focusing on that. That's not the look that I want to take. I want to keep seeing Him. Keep seeing Him more and more. Keep celebrating what He did for me. You can't outsin his grace. Now, there's consequences to sinning. Don't get me wrong. But Christ says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And there are people who get so discouraged because they feel like they failed again. Keep coming. The invitation for the Christian is to keep coming and keep learning his word. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, not according to Christ. There's a lot in this world that are not, it's not according to Christ. God wants us away from futile thinking. We are in battle to keep moving away from futile thinking. The futile mind, wasted, incapable of producing any useful result. My goodness, Paul talks about that. He says, but you, in Ephesians, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt. Do you realize the old man in you would continue to grow corrupt if you don't feed your new nature that Christ put in you by his Spirit? Moment you said yes to Jesus, a brand new spanking image of Jesus Christ came inside of you, brand new nature. Now that nature has to be fed and developed. And Christ isn't bouncing in and out. He's there to stay. But we don't want to feed that old guy. You want to be renewed, the scripture says, in the spirit of your mind, that you'd put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I don't know how God did it all, but I receive the fact that he did it. If he says any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I go with that. I live my life based upon that happened. I don't always feel new, but I want to think new. You get that? And this old life and this old world can tear me down, right? It can just get me down. And stuff happens. And I just want to say, let's keep looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we need to continue to learn that we are complete. We learn to walk, we learn to discern, and we learn we are complete. Here's why. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you realize that you are complete in the one who is the key? In him is all the fullness. Merrill Unger points out, this is divine notice. The Godhead is that Jesus is the full picture of God. He revealed himself as God in flesh. John says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. In other words, when Christ came into this world, he explained God. He's the one that you and I can relate to. But he held so much back. He could have done so much more, but his ministry was perfect. It was fulfilled. And in that, God accomplished something for every single human being on the planet that all the scripture before Jesus was pointing to. When Jesus says on the cross, it is finished, it means that there is now a complete salvation for anyone who will trust me. And you will be with God forever and ever and ever and ever. And he is with you right now because you, church, as a believer, are complete in him. Amen. I just think this is so good. I want to grow in this completeness. I don't want it to become old hat. I want it to become fresh. I want to know this. I want to think about my life in terms of, wow, I serve a God who will never leave me nor forsake me. And this baby may be new to somebody in here this morning. I get it. I realize that I'm going to keep preaching Jesus Christ until he comes because I believe that there is no other. The scripture is the record of God, of his love message for the world. And it's an active, vibrant relationship that every believer can have. And you can learn to overcome things that may be some of the hardest things in your life right now. I love what McGee says. Think about this. He says, you're complete in him. Complete is a nautical term, and it could be translated in this very vivid way. You are ready for the voyage of life in him. Isn't that a wonderful way of saying it? You are ready for the voyage of life in Christ, and whatever you need for the voyage of life, you will find in him. This is where we say that Christ is the answer. Well, what is your question? What is your need today? Are you carried away by human philosophy? Then turn to Christ. Are you carried away by enticing words? Are you carried away by the systems and traditions of men? Here's the answer. Turn to Christ because in him you are complete. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to really look at this complete salvation that you've demonstrated so clearly for us in Jesus. We thank you that in him is the fullness, that he's God in flesh, that he accomplished something for every person in this room that is so vitally complete, and that our vitality comes from him. As we stay in him, as we get nourished in him, as we remember him, as we think about him, as we never get tired of thinking about the one who loved us and gave his life for us. Father, I pray that you would continue to meet the needs that are in this church. Bless people who are struggling, who have the needs that they seem like, I don't know how this is going to work out. But the scripture says, if God is for me, who could be against me? Thank you, Lord. We love you. Praise you. As we celebrate your table, I pray, Lord, that we would remember well, that we'd remember what Jesus Christ did for us. In your name I pray. Amen.